Lekutas Sichas Chelik Yudzayin, Chag HaPesach, the first Sicha, a summary of the Sicha. We know that there are three names, by the Yom Tov Pesach has three names. There's the name Chag HaMatzis, which is what it's called in the Torah itself. Then there is what the in davening, which was established by the Anshe Knesset HaGdolah, we call it Zman Cheiruseinu, the time of our freedom. And then there is what in other places in Chazal, and that's what it's commonly known as, is Pesach, the Yom Tov Pesach. So it's logical to say that these three names express what Pesach is in three different ways, three different aspects of Pesach, but all in the theme of Pesach. And it's also important to note that since the order in which things come about in Torah is also instructive, so therefore the order is also particular. So since the Torah calls it Chag HaMatzis, that's the first step, and then the Anshe Knesset HaGdolah added the names Man Cheiruseinu is the second step, and then Pesach, which came later, that is the third step. So we have to understand what that is. So we know that the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim is called in the Nevuas Yecheskel, it's called the birth of the Jewish people, of the Jewish nation. Why is it called the birth? Not simply because that's when the Yidden started, that's when they came together as a nation, because that would be true for any nation, Lahavdil, that comes together as a nation. That's the birth of their nation. So how is this birth for the Yidden different than what normally would be considered birth of any nation? Because by the Yidden, it was a completely transformative event. It transformed the Yidden from what they were before into something completely new. How so? So the Pesach, which was the birth of the Jewish nation, is an introduction to Matan Torah. We know that Hashem told Moshe that when you take the Yidden out of Mitzrayim, you will serve Hashem at Mount Sinai. In other words, it will be for the purpose of Matan Torah. And that's why Shavuos is not linked to a day of the month, but is rather linked to 50 days from the second day of Pesach. Because it's Pesach which leads into Shavuos. Shavuos is not an independent Yom Tov, it's a culmination of Pesach. In other words, that the birth of the Jewish nation is that they were given the Torah. That's what made us into a completely different nation. That's what transformed us as a people, is the Torah. Why are we a Metzias Chadasha because of Torah? Because Torah is something which is the very close to Hashem. It's called Etzloi Omen. It's something which is close to Him. It's called Shashuyim, Hashem's toy, so to speak, His plaything. It's a treasure hidden next to Him. So these are all descriptions of Torah. So when the Yidden were given the opportunity for Torah and given Torah, it means that we became connected to the closest thing to Hashem. And that is completely transformative. And that's expressed in the three names, Chag HaMatzis, Zman Cheiruseinu, and Chag HaPesach. How so? So we can understand this from when an analogy of a teacher that wants to teach a student, not just impart information to a student, but he wants to teach a student something completely new, a new idea, something that the student on his own would not be able to comprehend at all. And now the teacher wants to introduce him to this new, very new idea, or a new seichel, new way of thinking, which the student would not be capable of doing on his own at all. So there are three steps in which this must happen. The first step is, as our sages tell us, that when a Talmud Chacham sits before his teacher, he has to be sitting with Eima and Yira. He has to be sitting with complete Bittul, and he has to remove his own way of thinking totally and be ready to listen. His own ideas and his own way of thinking has to be set aside. He has to be completely open to a new way of thinking. So the first thing is Bittul. The reason is because if he were to continue thinking in his way, he can't start thinking in a new way. And that's expressed by what our sages tell us, Kli Reikon Machzik, only an empty vessel is able to contain something new. Because if you're full of your own thinking, you can't accept new, receive new. So that's the first step. But then, in order to be able, once you've accomplished a bittul and you're ready to receive, then you have to start employing your own seichel to be able to receive this idea. And similar, as we say, kli reikam, you have to be a keli. Your keli has to be functioning. If your keli isn't functioning, there's a hole in your keli, nothing will be received. Therefore, you have to have a keli, which means you have to use your seichel and apply your seichel to be able to receive. And then the third thing is that the student has to realize that the purpose of teaching him is not so that he should always have to be there receiving from the teacher, but that he should eventually be able to rise to the level of his teacher and to be able to understand it on the level that the teacher understands it, and not on the limited way that the teacher must teach it to him now because he is not yet ready, capable of understanding the entire thing. He has to be able to rise up and to be able to become koyim adai to the rabbi, which means to be able to get to the depth of what his teacher was trying to teach him. In other words, that the student has to be able to get away from his own limitations and to be able to see things and to receive things on the level that the teacher teaches them. Rebbe asks that there are two things that we find that seem to contradict this order, because we find that Rabbi used to tell a joke to the students and then he would start teaching them be'ema, then they would sit and with reverence and study and start the lesson. So we see that first was an uplifted mood and then came the yira. The same thing we find also by an expression of the Chazal, La'olam yehei smoil doicha b'yamim mekarevus. The left should, it should always be that the left is pushing away, but the right is bringing close. Meaning to say that pushing away has to be done with the left hand in a weaker way. Bringing close has to be done at the same time with the dominant hand, with the strong hand. But it's expressed in a way that smoil doicha comes before yamim mekarevus. But then the Gemara gives an example for this, like by a child. So by a child we know, if you want to be able to teach a child, you can't start with Smail Doiche. You have to start with Yamim Mekarevus. You have to entice them with, according to their level, give them prizes for learning good. So if you're going to start with giving them a lecture and a rebuke and so on, you could push them away completely. So you have to start. We know that you have to start with bringing the child close. So that seems to contradict, that's similar to what Rabbi did. He said a joke before he began the lesson. That seems to contradict the order of first there has to be bittel and yira, and then you can get to using your own seichel, in other words, to your own expression of your own metzias. The Rebbe answers this by saying that the joke before the learning and the candy or the enticements that you give the child, that is just to open them up to the idea that they want to start learning. That's what that purpose is. But then the process of learning itself starts with Eima V'Yira. That has to start with Eima V'Yira and Bittel. So that's the mushel. What's the nimshel? What's the analog? When the Yidden had to be transformed into a completely new people as a result of Torah, it started also with the inyan of bittul of tavdunas elokim arazeh, to work as an kabbalas oil, as an avodas eved, simple nasa v'nishma, simple adherence to what has to be done, and not using your own seichel in order to understand and so on. The inyan of nishma. The second step is that all this bittul and this nasa benishma and kabbalah soil is not meant to crush the personality of the yid. To the contrary, to a yid, that kind of adherence and bittul to Hashem, that is who you truly are. That's what makes you free. That's what brings out your true personality. As our sages tell us, Ein lecha ben chayrin ela mi she'aseg b'Torah. Who is a truly free person? Only somebody that studies Torah, that's involved in Torah. What is the meaning of this? It would seem that Torah is very restrictive. It only allows you to navigate in very limited ways. So what does it mean that gives you true freedom? This can be understood of how our sages interpret the word Avodas Perech. It says that the Egyptians made the Yidden work Avodas Perech, slave labor, difficult work, backbreaking work. So they explain, what is backbreaking work? They made the men do the work of the women and the women do the work of the men. So we can understand very simply that if a woman has to do the hard backbreaking work that a man can do, that could be difficult. But if a man is given the work of a woman, which generally in those days, certainly when the men worked the back-breaking work, and the women did in homework, which was the house work, was not so difficult. Why would it be difficult for a man to do a woman's labor? The answer is because since this is not the nature of a man to be able to do this, so therefore, even though it seems easier, but it's truly not who he is, and therefore becomes very difficult to do. So also, to a Yid, Torah and Kabbalah Soil, this is who we are. So therefore, it might seem to be easier to live a life without those, without that direction. But the truth is that since it goes against your personality, that would be considered not freedom. That would be considered slavery. And when you do what is your nature, that's considered freedom. So also, the Kabbalah Soil of a Yid, since underlying it is who we truly are, therefore that is done, that it brings out your personality. As we said, that's what makes you to a Keli, to a proper Keli. And through this type of Avodah, we get to the third stage, which is this Avodah connected us with the essence of Hashem. That's what linked us to Hashem, and therefore now we raise up to meet the teacher, as we said in the Mashal. So now we become truly infinite through the Torah in our connection to Hashem. And that's what's expressed by the three names. Matzah expresses Bittul, as we know that Matzah means that it doesn't rise, and so on. Zman Cheder Seiner brings out the fact that in this Kabbalah soil, that is the true freedom that a Yid experiences. And then the third name, Pesach, which means to jump and to go beyond what you normally could do. Going step by step means growing according to your own limitations. To jump forward in leaps and bounds, that's called going up to meet the Eibishter in a completely infinite way. And that's the order. It starts with Chag HaMatzos, Bittul, it goes to Zman Cheiroseinu, realizing that the true freedom is expressed in this Bittul, and then the Pesach, which means rising up to meet the infinite through Hashem. And that's what a Yid has to realize always, that even though Kabbalah Soil seems to be something which is limiting, but the truth is that there is no limiting in Kedusha. Kedusha doesn't have any breaking or crushing. There is only Simcha, because that uncovers and reveals what the true nature of the Yid is, and therefore brings us to the great state of Simcha as a result of this Kabbalah Soil.